The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes. It is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for our show. We're glad to have you. Before we get too far into the show, I got an urgent announcement. You got to know it. Today and tomorrow are the last days you can pick up the reduced room rates for the Normal National Conference in Denver. That'll be 420 through 423, 21, 22, 23. Yeah, that's right. 421 through 423. So if you want that reduced rate, you've got to act now. Check out normal.org/conference. Hey, also, unfortunately, Ganja John is not in the studio today. He is out with Ganja wife right now. Apparently, they're checking out some of these new medical marijuana clubs in the Portland area. And thanks to the special technology in Ganja John's fake eye, the John Cam, we're able to listen in on what's going on with John right now. Let's check in on John and his wife at the medical marijuana club.
Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Why, no, not at all.
John, get out of there, John. John, get out of there. Can you hear me, John? You've got to do something.
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Oh, I think you'd better get out of there. We got to make this two-way. Coleco is sitting in here over at John's microphone. John, we got to make this two-way, Coleco. He could get into some serious trouble here.
Yeah.
Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. I'm not out clubbing.
No, John is back at home. He's actually in one of the cams right now. He's back at home because he's having a little difficulty with the old ticker. He's like, you know, he said his heart's going to burst out of his chest. He's got so much love for the cannabis community. His heart's going to burst right out of his chest. So he's taking it easy today, and we're going to fill in for him. And take care, John. We want you back on the show as soon as possible. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after this first break. So what do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Oh, we've got some great news today. We're going to talk about a state that's introducing a new cannabis tax act. We're also going to go to the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. Where, well, you know, again, not good news from Florida, but also a daytime talk show that featured marijuana. We're going to cover that today as well.
Now, that's right. The Dr. Oz Show, we're going to talk about that. And also, that's a perfect segue to our guest on today's show in Normal Newsmakers. At half past the hour, we're going to speak with Diane Fornbacher. She's the vice chair of the Normal Women's Alliance. And she was there at that Dr. Oz Show taping. And she's going to tell us all about what didn't make the cut and her impressions of the show. So we'll get to her at half past the hour. Stay tuned for that. Also, in today's show, it's Electric Tuesday, so we're going to be getting to our own Cannabis Cure UK, who's going to bring us some music from Emperor Selassie I called Sata Spliff, something we got to in hour two last week, and we'll put an hour one this week, so everything came around full circle. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're back with the news right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The state of Oregon will try once again to pass a legalization ballot measure. On Monday, a brand new initiative was kicked off in Portland as signature gatherers began the task of collecting 90,000 signatures by July 2012 for the measure to make it on an Oregon ballot in November of 2012. Jennifer Alexander, the campaign's manager, was already hard at work collecting signatures at a Portland mall on Monday. The chief petitioner, Paul Stanford, isn't new to the ballot initiative game. He has tried more than once in the past to put the question of legalization onto the Oregon voters' hands. He hopes even the name of the new proposition, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, will get voters to pay attention to the effort. If put on the ballot and passed, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act would legalize marijuana for adults over 21 to buy at state-licensed stores or grow it in the state of Oregon. Saving taxpayers' money is at the heart of the strategy this time around, and the bill's supporters believe that the message might work. Next year, Washington and California may also have marijuana measures on their ballots as well. In Oregon, the bill supporters say that legalization could raise $140 million in taxes for Oregon, while at the same time saving $60 million in law enforcement costs. The campaign will use paid petitioners along with volunteer petitioners, and will also use online resources as well to connect with the 90,000 voters they need to make it to the November 6, 2012 ballot. 90% of the proceeds from a marijuana tax will go into the state's general fund, 7% will go into drug treatment, and 1% will go into drug education in public schools and two new state commissions to promote hemp biofuel and hemp fiber and food. To help the efforts, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act will hold a series of three benefit concerts featuring reggae music legends Toots and the Maytals on the 4th of July weekend. Now, to learn more about the initiative, how to become a signature gatherer, or just how to sign the petition if you happen to be an Oregon voter, please visit their website, CannabisTaxAct.org.
And everybody here at Normal Show Live will recognize the name Jennifer Alexander. She's a big friend of the show. You'll see her showing up in the chat room from time to time, and she's been a guest on our show. We'll have her back on again, too, to talk about OCTA 2012 and the signature gathering process in CannabisTaxAct.org. And we're really looking forward to this. You know, Oregon was the first state to decriminalize back in 1973, and I think we should be the first state to legalize as well. You know, maybe I'm biased because I live here, but it's definitely something we're looking forward to. 90,000 signatures is not much when you consider there are 360,000 marijuana smokers in the state of Oregon.
And Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott is making good on a campaign promise, but it may face several legal challenges along the way. Scott has decided to make drug tests mandatory for all state workers. Scott, a Tea Party-backed conservative, signed the controversial order last week that would require random drug screenings for any and all state workers on the state payroll. They will be tested at least once every 3 months. New job applicants would also be subject to drug tests under the order signed by Scott, who took office in January. He issued the order on the same day a bill was filed in the Florida state legislature that would require drug tests for any welfare recipients who would be required to pay for their own drug screening. But the challenges are already mounting. Howard Simon, the executive director of the ACLU of Florida, said that the organization is looking into possible lawsuits to challenge the new policy. Simon says that random drug testing of government workers without reasonable suspicion of drug abuse has been limited to employees in jobs where public safety is an issue. Simon says he thinks the new governor may have gotten some bad legal advice on pushing the drug testing issue. Federal courts have generally ruled that such blanket testing policies for government workers violate the U.S. Constitution's Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches. In April of 2000, a U.S. district court ruled that governments cannot require prospective employees to take drug tests unless there is a special need, such as safety issues. Another federal court supported the ACLU in 2004 with a similar ruling that random drug testing of every employee was a violation of the Fourth Amendment. He also points out that Scott has staunchly opposed a statewide computer database that would track prescriptions of Vicodin, Percocet, and other dangerous narcotics on grounds that it could intrude on privacy rights. Simon says that it shows that Governor Scott is very selective in his principles. Florida does have the largest problem in the nation of illegal prescription dealers. Simon says that the ACLU stands ready to represent any state employee who wants to challenge a new policy, saying that Floridians should not have to surrender their constitutional rights in order to work for the state. Now, one company that may benefit from Florida's new policy is a company called Solantic, which conducts hundreds of thousands of drug tests for employers. That company is owned by Florida's Governor Rick Scott.
Uh-huh. Talk about some extra business for the governor. Mandatory drug testing here. Oh, my God. I hate this every time the subject comes up here. And that sound you hear of cheering in the background, that's our line to the guys that make the Wizinator. Right. There are people in this country, we know them, I know them personally, who go to work every day with a fake penis strapped to them, with a bag full of urine on their thigh. Literally, they can go to work like that every day in the case that they get in an accident or that there's some sort of random drug test that they got to submit to, and so they can pee out the fake urine in a cup to make sure that everything's cool and they can continue to put the food on the table and be able to pay the rent, right? That's what's going on in America with this mandatory drug testing. You don't really do anything about drugs or what might make people want to use drugs or maybe making drugs safer or the lives better for these people. It doesn't change a thing by trying to drug test for them because all they do is get around the drug test. You don't really catch anyone. And furthermore, you're going to go to all this expense. It's going to be litigated, taken to court, and once again, it's going to be found to be unconstitutional. What you're saying by a mandatory drug test is you are saying you are a criminal until your pee proves that you're innocent, and that's not the way our system's supposed to work here in America.
And one of Oprah's proteges is Dr. Oz, who has his own daytime talk show that covers medical issues. Today on his show, Dr. Oz focused the entire show on debating medical marijuana efficacy. His guest was marijuana activist and medical marijuana patient Montel Williams, who had his own successful TV show for over a decade. Williams has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and he says that marijuana brings him relief for his condition. He believes that marijuana has halted the plaque from continuing to take over his brain. He told Dr. Oz, mostly middle-aged audience of mostly women, that it is time for the federal government to make marijuana legal for all adults who want to use it. He also took a shot at President Obama, saying that he has never worn a uniform, and since Montel has, how could the president deny him the use of a medicine that works for his condition? Dr. Andrea Barthwell, a former director of the White House National Drug Control Policy, that says she co-chaired a study that reviewed the literature on the safety of medical marijuana. Their study found that, one, they can't support the use of smoking any drug, two, wherever medical marijuana is in use, the illegal use of it expands, and three, young people are most vulnerable to that. She admitted, though, that she is currently involved with a company that is looking at taking some of the elements of marijuana and purifying them. That provided a lively debate moment when Montel jumped in and said no. She was hired by a medicinal marijuana company from outside of the United States to ensure that patients outside the U.S. have access to safe and effective medicine as opposed to people here at home. Dr. Barthwell said that the products have not passed the FDA because our standards are different from those in countries where those products have passed, such as the UK and Canada. Montel then pointed out that prescription medications okayed through the FDA, like Oxycontin, Percocet, and Adderall and Valium, are the most addictive and abused substances out there, especially among high school kids, to which the audience applauded. Dr. Oz then moved his focus to answer the question, is marijuana addictive? He added Dr. Shahela Modir to the show, who is a psychiatrist who treats it and says that 40% of the addicts she treats have a medical marijuana card. Dr. Oz says that marijuana makes sense for chronic pain, glaucoma, HIV, and cancer, among other conditions, but that it makes no medical sense to prescribe it for PMS, anxiety, stress, headaches, insomnia, and irritability. He said he and his medical team researched it and concluded that about 1 in 10 people find marijuana addictive. Then Dr. Oz himself asked Dr. Barthwell, if tobacco is more addictive than marijuana, why is it legal and marijuana isn't? Her answer was simply, it is because it is. Another guest, Dr. Donald Abrams, an oncologist and medical marijuana researcher, says that he considers marijuana an inhaled drug and insists that smoking marijuana appears to even decrease the risk of lung cancer, a point that was not agreed on by the panel of other guests. Dr. Oz says that research shows that young people who try marijuana are 8 times more likely to use cocaine, 15 times more likely to use heroin, and more likely to end up getting treatment for substance abuse, leading to the much talked about gateway drug issue. Dr. Abrams told him there is no demonstration of any cause and effect between marijuana use and the use of other drugs. Now, Normal's own Alan St. Pierre was sitting in the audience for the taping of the show and was asked a question about the legalization efforts in the nation. He told the audience that 4 states are looking to legalize and tax marijuana currently, and that the revenue from the sales of marijuana might be the force that finally makes it legal. In the end, Dr. Oz summed up the entire show, saying that if we are going to make marijuana legal, we should do just that. He said it isn't fair to pass laws that make it look like it's legal and then not be able to give it to people who need it. He said that while marijuana wasn't as addictive as other drugs, he said it's still darn addictive and needs to be strictly regulated. He said fundamentally it should be given to patients to help them get their lives back to normal. All in all, a pretty good discussion about cannabis on daytime TV.
It's darn illegal. Darn it. It's darn addictive. I'm sorry. It's darn addictive. Oh, okay. It kind of like caffeine is darn addictive. They're about at the same levels here. We've got the graphic for the show right up there. Medical marijuana, is it time to make it legal? Some of our East Coast listeners have already seen the show. Those of us out here on the West Coast, we're still waiting. Here in Portland, it's on at 3 p.m. Pacific. So after Toker Talk Radio, I'll be taking a look at it. But today's guest on the show at half past the hour, Diane Fornbacher, was in the audience. She's the vice chair of the Normal Women's Alliance, and she was there along with an MS patient from New Jersey who unfortunately got cut from the show. So we'll talk a little bit about that. She'll give us our impression of the prohibitionists in the audience and the generally how she felt the show went. But also, I believe Cannabob is putting together some audio clips for us, or maybe some video clips that we'll play in hour two from that. Of course, I got to address Dr. Andrea Barthwell. She, of course, was the paid consultant for GW Pharmaceuticals to try to get Sativex approved and promoted throughout the United Kingdom. Also, she is now with her own personal consulting firm where she consults on medical issues. She was in the Bush administration in the drug czar's office there, and she said, one, we cannot approve of smoking a medicine as a drug. Okay, I can see the legitimate point for that. Inhaling burning vegetable matter contains hydrocarbons that have been known to cause cancer, even though we don't see that in marijuana smokers. But generally, inhaling burning vegetable matter, not good for you if you can avoid it. That's why we recommend vaporization and tinctures and edibles and salves. All of these methods for which cannabis can be consumed medically that do not involve any sort of burning. Number two, that there's more illegal use where there's medical marijuana. No, there's medical marijuana where there's been more illegal use. This is just a correlation. You cannot put a causation here. In fact, we've seen the rates of marijuana use decline in the states that have approved medical marijuana. And three, she said, well, it expands the youth use of marijuana. We've not seen that either. In fact, the study that took a look at the medical marijuana states found that teenage use dropped in those states as well. So we continue to fight the reefer madness. I'm glad that Dr. Oz seems to be at least reasonable on the subject, that he understands that cannabis does have medical efficacy. It can be used medically. But for me, they're still in this area of medicine of last resort. That there's some sort of danger we have to avoid from cannabis, when throughout history, cannabis was used as a medicine of first resort. Since it has so little side effect, why not try cannabis? All right. Me and Coleco are here for the break.
Let's do it.
Coleco's well supplied for the break. So we'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour. We have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, this is the Cannabis Cure UK Weekly News Podcast, bringing you today's Electric Tuesday for Normal Show Live. Returning to one of my favourite new musicians, Satter Spliff, who I play every week as my backing music. I love his chilled out and instrumental vibe. There's always an appropriate time for one of his tunes. And Normal Show Live has even started using one of my favourites, Hybrid, for one of his ads. The track Emperor Celestii, the first, like I say, is by Satter Spliff. The chilled out trance beats with layered grooves make it a tune that entices me to light a big fat joint, close my eyes and throw my glow stick hands in the air. Get in the groove with Emperor Celestii and Satter Spliff. Light your bongs, pipes or joints. Don't forget to check out cureuk.podomatic.com for the Cannabis Cure UK Weekly News Podcast, episode 9 playing tonight at 8 o'clock here, live.normal.org. That's the premiere. Enjoy the rest of the show.
As I call upon the force of the Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, is the Almighty. Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia is the Almighty.
iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, medical cannabis cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are so happy to have joining us the Vice Chair of the Normal Women's Alliance, Diane Fornbacher. Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here, and we're going to talk about Normal Women's Alliance and what's going on there. But first, of course, the news of the day. In fact, the show that we're waiting for out here on the West Coast, because we haven't gotten to see it yet, is this taping of the Dr. Oz show on medical marijuana, and you were there. So I wanted to know, how did you get involved with medical marijuana and end up on this Dr. Oz show?
Well, I've been in the movement for approximately 15 years, so I don't know if you want me to go into the diatribe litany of how exactly I got involved, but basically when I was a freshman in college at Penn State University branch campus of Altoona, Pennsylvania, those of you familiar with marijuana policy know that Harry Anslinger was born in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and is buried in Hollidaysburg. So I had the fine luck of being a person who was medicating for a condition and was busted. And for a very small amount, a bud and a steamroller. And I had the book thrown at me. I wouldn't turn over the person who sold it to me, because to me they were my mother, Teresa. And as a result of having a lot of charges put on to me and having my license suspended, I was charged with moral turpitude, the drug law and cosmetic possession. And because of that, I have with people in a healthcare facility or in education, so I can't effectively work with anybody. And I was very angry about that. Yeah. I didn't realize the long-reaching consequences until 2 years later, but essentially kind of walked around mad for about 18 months or so until I started working for a Knight Ridder week.
Oh, no, Diane, I'm afraid we're losing you on the Skype here. We're going to have to try to get you back, maybe redial the call. Unfortunate. Diane Fordenbacher from the Normal Women's Alliance. So we will take a break and see if we can't get that that feed coming back up here. So we'll be right back after this.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. To ordain and establish this constitution.
Thank you.
I apologize to everyone listening on the live feed here. There is just no way we're getting into Skype, apparently. It's refusing to sign in. Skype services seem to be up, but this does not seem to be working for my side. So my apologies to Diane Fornbacher, who's waiting patiently. We called her by cell phone, but I just don't think we'll be able to connect. There's something seriously wrong with my Skype setup here. So there's that problem. In the meantime, I've got some video here from Cannabob that we'll play from the Dr. Oz show. And let's see if we get the right video style here. I got to get the... will it run that kind? Well, guess we'll find out. we're doing it live here at Normal Show Live today.
You're better, John.
Doesn't want to play Windows Media Video, I don't think. Let's see. Well, let's see what this one does. Yeah, I think that's the one without sound. All right. Well, nothing's working here in the studio today, unfortunately, so doggone. I'll have to kill that. Of course, this would also happen on the day that I'm not feeling so well myself, so all the things that can go wrong are going wrong. We'll break out of this techno music and get back into the swing of things here on Normal Show Live. Hold on just a moment.
Want more than just your Normal Show Live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me say,
free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
All right, welcome, folks. Call an audible here on the show to give us something to talk about for the last 15 minutes. And it's more information I want to bring you from the Normal big book of marijuana facts that I'm putting together, the science and statistics behind cannabis and its consumers. And we hope to have this book done for you by summertime for the big events. My big hope is Seattle Hemp Fest. If I can get a book ready for you by Seattle Hemp Fest, I think that'll give us a whole lot to talk about, and it'll be really good for everyone. The idea of the book is to give activists out there in the field something they can use to help make the case for marijuana legalization, because when you're out there, you know, you can't really show PowerPoint presentations, you don't have video screens, it's not really easy to display these kind of things. So by making a big book, literally a big book that's going to fit on an easel, I think this will give reformers something to, you know, talk about and have, you know, draw people in. It's nice and colorful, and it'll make people want to stop and chat with you at your Normal booth. So that's the basic idea behind the book. And And what we're taking a look at here is going to be cannabis safety. And of course, whenever we go back to cannabis safety, we can talk about the DEA, the normal suit against the DEA for the rescheduling of cannabis. And in our petition to the DEA, Judge Francis L. Young in 1988 wrote, quote, "In strict medical terms, marijuana is far safer than many foods we commonly consume. For example, eating 10 raw potatoes can result in a toxic response. By comparison, it is physically impossible to eat enough marijuana to induce death. Marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man. By any measure of rational analysis, marijuana can be safely used within a supervised routine of medical care." End quote. 1988, a judge working for the DEA, getting a paycheck from the DEA, ruling on Normal's petition, said marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man. Now, the federal government, according to the Controlled Substances Act of 1970, regulates drugs that they consider harmful in five schedules, ranging from Schedule 5 to Schedule 1. Now, here is the breakdown of these different schedules and what they mean to you. A Schedule 5 drug is one that has a low potential of abuse compared to drugs in Schedule 4. So, little chance it could be abused. It has a currently accepted medical use in the United States. And abuse may lead to limited physical or psychological dependence compared to drugs in Schedule 4. So as far as dangerous drugs go, Schedule 5, low as you can get, really not that dangerous. This can be prescribed by doctors in all 50 states and includes drugs like Lyrica and Robitussin AC. You know, the good Tussin. Now, Schedule 4 is the next level up, a little bit more dangerous. Now, they're considered to be drugs that have a low potential for abuse compared to Schedule 3 drugs. So they could be abused more than a Schedule 5, but not as much as a 3. They do have a currently accepted medical use in the United States, and abuse may lead to limited physical or psychological dependence compared to Schedule 3. Now, it's also prescribable in all 50 states and includes such drugs as Lunesta, Ambien, Rohypnol, Ativan, Valium, Klonopin, Darvocet, and Xanax. Schedule 4. Considered, you know, down there in the bottom end of the harmful drugs. Now, Schedule 3, we start to get a little more danger. Here they don't say low potential for abuse anymore. They say potential for abuse, but less than Schedule 1 and 2. So not low potential, now they're saying there's a potential here. Okay, potential for abuse, less than Schedule 1 and Schedule 2. Currently accepted medical use in the United States, and abuse may lead to moderate or low physical dependence, or high psychological dependence, right? So the physical dependence, not so much, not the cravings and so much, but psychologically can really hook you. Now, this is a prescribable drug with some limits as far as how often you get refills, you have to show up in person, and so on. And this includes such drugs as anabolic steroids, Vicodin, ketamine, pentothal, and Marinol, a.k.a. dronabinol, a.k.a. synthetic THC. Synthetic THC, Schedule 3. Now we move into the dangerous drug category, Schedule 2. Schedule 2 drugs, dangerous drugs, high potential for abuse. No messing around here. No more, less than, or more. This is it. Schedule 2, you're talking the drugs that have a high potential for abuse, but have currently accepted medical use in the United States. And they go on to say that abuse of these drugs may lead to severe psychological or physical dependence. Now, these are prescribed in all 50 states, but with some very, very strict limits on these, right? Like, no refills at all. Doctor has to, you know, call it in. All sorts of things that doctors have to subscribe to here to be able to prescribe Schedule 2 drugs. But all 50 states, legal drugs, which include OxyContin, Percocet, PCP, a.k.a. Angel Dust, methamphetamine, a.k.a. crank, Demerol, cocaine, yes, cocaine, Dilaudid, and a drug called Sesamet, which is another synthetic THC, apparently more dangerous than the Marinol. And then that leaves us with Schedule 1 drugs, the most dangerous drugs, the drugs that we call illegal drugs. They have a high potential for abuse. They have no currently accepted medical use in the United States. And no, 15 medical marijuana states and our federal government recognizing the medical use of marijuana, the federal government holding patent number 6630507 on the medical use of cannabinoids for neuroprotectants and setting medical marijuana to 4 remaining patients in the Compassionate Investigative New Drug Program and updating their cancer.gov website to suggest the use of cannabis medically for both symptom management and anti-tumoral properties do not count as a currently accepted medical use in the United States, in case you were wondering. And there is a lack of accepted safety for use under medical supervision. If a doctor was sitting by your side watching you do this drug, it could not be used safely. This includes all illegal drugs, including magic mushrooms, LSD, heroin, peyote, ecstasy, quaaludes, GHB, DMT, certain genus of toads known as bufo, and cannabis. That's right. Cannabis is a Schedule I drug. No medically accepted use in the United States. Lack of accepted use. Lack of safety. Illegal drug up there with LSD, heroin, peyote, ecstasy, shrooms, quaaludes, GHB, and bufo toads. You know about bufo toads?
I have never heard the name.
There are toads. There are toads of the genus bufo, the South American toads, that their skin, their sweat, their ooze creates is a hallucinogen. You can lick these toads and trip.
I think I'll stick with my butt. That's just
now,
me, though.
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking, though, is it's interesting when I make this list how in the range of all the safe drugs, I find these synthetic things. And once I get to Schedule 2 and Schedule 1, that's where I find all the natural things.
Yeah.
Coca leaf, opium poppy, cannabis plant, magic mushroom fungus, peyote plant, right? And a toad. Freaking toad. A toad is a controlled drug in this country. That's just, that's the way it is. It's right down there. So as we go on, Judge Young explained the use of a therapeutic ratio to explain the potential lethality of a drug. And here's the way that a therapeutic ratio works. It's a measure of the effective dose of a drug versus the lethal dose of a drug. And they call it ED50 and LD50. And what that's referring to is whether or not, the ED50 is the effective dose for 50% of a test population, right? So it's not going to be effective for everyone, but at least half of them. And the LD50 is going to kill half the population. Well, when we look at the chart here, and again, we've got this color-coded by the schedule of the drug. Green is the over-the-counter drugs. Yellow is a Schedule 4, Schedule 5. Orange is Schedule 2, Schedule 3. And red is Schedule 1. Well, the most dangerous drug down here that we got on the list, heroin, has a 1-6 therapeutic ratio that, you know, one dose will get you high, 6 doses will kill you. But alcohol is a 1-10. One dose will get you drunk, 10 will kill you. Now, what's a dose? Well, maybe for me, a dose is 3 shots. Well, then, 30 shots will kill me, right? So, because I'm a big guy, right? But it's different for everyone. But whatever your dose is, 10 times that could kill you. And as we move down, we get drugs like cocaine and methamphetamine and MDMA, that's ecstasy, methadone, tobacco's a 1-21, Rohypnol's a 1-30, ketamine, caffeine, you can overdose and die from caffeine. It's a 1-50. You have to have a lot of caffeine, but it's doable.
Few rock stars maybe overnight, yeah, pulling the all-nighters. Watch out, college students.
Watch out, college students. Exactly. Nitrous oxide, Prozac's a 1-100. But when you get to the top of this list, cannabis is a 1-20,000. A 1-20,000. In fact, it's 1-20,000 or 40,000, as Judge Young continues to write in his 1988 petition, in his opinion on this petition. He wrote, quote, "There is no record in the extensive medical literature describing a proven, documented cannabis-induced fatality. By contrast, aspirin, a commonly used over-the-counter medicine, causes hundreds of deaths each year. A smoker would theoretically have to consume nearly 1,500 pounds of marijuana within about 15 minutes to induce a lethal response. In practical terms, marijuana cannot induce a lethal response as a result of drug-related toxicity." And he noted it was between 1-20,000 and 1-40,000, which was the measure of these drugs as far as cannabis, as far as its therapeutic ratio. Theoretically impossible to overdose on this. You'd more likely die of the carbon monoxide the lack of oxygen trying to smoke that much. I know that Richard Lee likes to joke, the only way that marijuana can kill you is if a 300-pound bale of it's dropped from 30 feet and lands on you. maybe that would lead to death. But, you know, this to go on, you know, I've shown this before, but the other ways that you might measure whether or not cannabis is dangerous, you know, don't pan out either. When we look at the addictive qualities of drugs and we rate them on dependence, withdrawal, tolerance, reinforcement, and intoxication, we see these big four over here with the worst qualities of addiction: nicotine, heroin, cocaine, and alcohol. Major qualities here in the three, in the fours and fives and sixes, the most serious drugs when it comes to addictive qualities. And when we go over to this other side, we see the drugs with the least addictive qualities. We find that to be cannabis and caffeine. Cannabis is more intoxicating, but other than that, it's down there in the ones and twos as far as dependence, withdrawal, tolerance, and reinforcement. Caffeine is more addictive than cannabis, according to this guideline. And then, of course, the big test for me would be, can it kill you? That would tell me whether or not something's safe. And when we look there from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, not one death attributable to cannabis use itself. Zero deaths attributable to cannabis itself. Meanwhile, people are overdosing on aspirin and NSAIDs, like Tylenol and Aleve and those kind of things, those pain relievers, overdosing on them to the tune of 7,600 per year. With all illegal drugs combined, only being 17,000 deaths per year, and all prescription drugs combined, not people trying to overdose, mind you, not people purposely trying to kill themselves, but people using prescription drugs the way they are intended to be used, according to doctor supervision, 32,000 dying from the effects, from secondary effects sometimes. Alcohol, 85,000 deaths. Poor diet and inactivity, the Taco Bell lifestyle. Living large.
That's what I was going to say.
Fourth meal. $400,000, 400,000 deaths a year. And tobacco, of course, the big one. 435,000 deaths a year. And even if we talk about dependence rates, the National Institutes on Drug Abuse itself will admit only 9% of cannabis users exhibit any sort of long-term dependence, compared to 15% for alcohol and 32% for tobacco. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm sorry for the difficulties. For those of you who are coming in to listen to Diane Fornbacher, I do apologize, and apologize heartily to Diane. This technical difficulty, Skype is down. Not much I can do about it. We'll try to get her back later on. For Cannabis Carrie, Ganja John, Get Well, and Kaliko the Intern, I'm Radical Russ. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For those of you listening live, stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.